So Psalm 102. The title of this message is How God Visits You. How God Visits You. When I first became a believer, before I read that scripture, I was told that when you finish praying, you should wait. And that God will speak to you. And that God will visit with you. So when I finish praying, I wait. But nothing happens, but I sleep off. And it happened repeatedly. And I went back to my disciple. I said, what am I not doing right? Do everybody sleep off? Because I used to wake up really early in the morning. Part of the discipline was wake up early and pray. I said, why is it only me that sleeps off? He said, it's not only you. Everybody sleeps off at the beginning. I'm pleased to tell you, a few decades later, I don't sleep off anymore, which will have been a disaster if I'm still sleeping up at this time. But now I get it. I get it. And one of the best things that could ever happen to you is when you finish praying and you say amen, and you stand up to know what you're expecting. Because many of us think that the blessing is there, but it is there. However, there is a way to bring the blessing from there in heaven when God has answered and you got that sense of peace on earth where you can see it. So when God visits you, how will he visit you? That's what we want to talk about this morning. Psalm 102, from verses 13 through to 22. The Bible says, so this gentleman has had issues and he has been complaining. I don't know whether the word is complaining. Lifting up his heart to God. And then he got to a point and God wanted to turn the story around. If it starts from verse 12, it says, but you, O Lord, shall endure forever and the remembrance of your name to all generation. It now says, you will arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. For your servant take pleasure in her stones and show favor to the dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, and it shall appear in his glory, and it shall regard the prayers of the destitute. When God wants to build you up and regard your prayer, he appears. That's where I'm going in that scripture. When God wants to build you up, when God wants to change your story, when God wants to give you a song to sing, what he does for you, he appears. But he doesn't appear unless you call him to appear. So the point of praying is to call him. To call him to appear in our situation and in our circumstance. However, when he appears, how do you know he has appeared? Because it's not like a physical man that you see walk through the door. God said to me that there are 7 ways. And I might not go through all the 7 ways today. But we're going to do justice to at least as many of them. That he visits with us on the back of prayer. The moment you pray, what should you expect? How do you expect God to visit you? He said to me, I'll give you them, just in case I can't go around them, then you at least can go and study more. A word is the first one, a word. A wisdom is the next one. A way is the third one. A walk is the fourth one. A work, W-R-K, is the fifth one. A wonder is the sixth one. A wise partner is the seventh one. I'll run through that again. The very first thing, a word, W-R-D. The next one, a wisdom. The next one, a way. The one after that is a walk, W-A-L-K. On the back of a walk is a work, W-O-R-K. Number 6 is a wonder. Number 7 is a wise partner. So I'm going to attempt to talk about a word, a wisdom, a wise partner, and a way, hopefully. The very first thing, when God visits with you, he releases the word to you. When you're praying, and you're saying, I need a visitation from God, that's the first place you should expect, before you even stand up sometimes. What if I don't know where to turn to in scriptures? Ask the Lord as well, Lord, speak to me and lead me a word. The word can come when you come to a service like this. The word can come from, a scripture just drops in your heart. You might not even know the whole of it. Thank God for Google now. You can Google just that phrase and the scripture comes up. When God gives you a word, what are you meant to do with it? You're meant to meditate on it, think about it, study it over and over again. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Samuel. I want you to to write the scriptures down, go back home, and go and meditate on them. The reason being, this is like a building block to many other things you experience in God. So you can use it every day from today. And I would suggest that you use it every day from today. 1 Samuel chapter 7. If you look at from verse 2, the Bible says, so it was that the ark remains in Jerim for a long time, and it was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Things do happen that make people come and lament after the Lord, come and cry to the Lord, come and lift up their voice to the Lord, come and ask for help from the Lord, just like it was in the book of Psalm 102. So if you're lifting up your voice to God for anything today, you won't be the first one. It won't be the last one either. It might not even be the last time. I hope not. But it says that, and then Samuel spoke a word. And all the house of Israel saying, to all the house of Israel saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, and then put away the foreign gods and the Asherahs from amongst you, and prepare your heart for the Lord, and serve him only, he will deliver you. When God wants to visit with you, he sent a word. Samuel spoke to them when their heart was heavy. Maybe you're in church today and your heart was heavy before you came. God is sending me a word to you today. Maybe it's in the worship that we just sang. A word has come. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I trust that I will. For some of you, the service is already over because God has already sent a word. The word does not only come when the pastor preaches. It comes from the word. It comes from the Bible that we read. It comes from the word that God jumps out to you from. It can be just a phrase from what the speaker is saying. It can be from the song. It can be from the praise and worship. There are people that have received their testimonies when pastor was just joking, and someone said, oh, pastor's joking, get on with it now. Let's get to the facts. So if you're, you know, some of us are like that, thinking, let's don't miss up what you want to say. Don't joke. Don't just give me one more joke. But in that joke, somebody has already received their testimony. Why? Because the presence of the Lord is here. Why? Because the power of the Lord is present. That's what happens when you pray in your home. God visits with you and gives you a word. God gave Samuel a word and he gave it to the people. If you read on from verses 9 to 10, the Bible says, and Samuel took a suckling lamb and he told them what to do and offered it as a whole burnt offering before the Lord. And then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered. He cried out to the Lord on behalf of Israel. The Lord answered. And now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near the battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, so confused them. And they were overcome by Israel. Israel did not even need to lift a finger. The war strategy, if you have a challenge, many of us, we are trained to think about how to solve the challenge. The first thing that comes to the mind of many of us naturally is, okay, how do we solve this problem? Let me not panic. And you think that is great because some people panic and they don't know how to solve any problem. And some people think, I'm a logical thinker. I can think God has given me a brain, so I sit down and I think it through. And it is good. We'll come to wisdom in a minute. It's very, very good. However, the first thing to do when we have a challenge is God might not even want you to attack it that particular way. God might want you to do it in a different way. So God gives you a word. A word. He said to them in this place, the whole of the Old Testament is full of the conquests and the challenges of the children of Israel and how God led them through. You see their story, you see how it goes. It wasn't the same word for every situation. There are times he says to them, look, this is how I'm going to have you fight this battle. When they were going into Jericho, there was a way they fought the battle. It was through singing. When they were going to fight to take over Ai, there was a way they fought. When the Philistines were attacking them, this is not the first time the Philistines were attacking them. And this was not the last time either. So the challenge you're having, maybe it's just one of those challenges. But God is wanting me to say to you today that the word is sending to you is that it will help you. As you lift your voice to him and set things in order in your life, that's the scripture, that's the instruction he gave. As you set things in order in your life, he will help you fight the battle. In that place, they did not need to fight the battle. The Bible says that the Philistines drew near the battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered against them. There are some battles you don't need to fight because the Lord thunders against them. Will you see the issue? Yes, you will see it. Because God made sure that the Philistines drew near. Why did he not deliver the Israelites while the Philistines were at the border? Why did they have to draw near to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? When God will visit with you, he will give you a word. He gave them the word and he fought the battle for them. In fact, he could have just given Samuel the word and said, don't do anything because I'm going to thunder against them. Just sit down and watch. He said, no, set your house in order. Do something. Don't fight, but set your life in order. Don't fight, but give me priority in your life. I don't need you to fight. I just need you to make sure that there is no edge that is broken. The scripture says, if the edge is broken, the serpent will bite. What does that mean in English? It means if something is not quite right in your life, the devil has something to accuse you about. So if when God wants to fight for you, he's limited. Why is he limited? Because something is not right. So every time God wants to do it, he said, but did you see that? She's a liar. But did you see that? It doesn't pay his tithe. Did you see that she's a thief? Did you see that? So as long as that noise is going on, and you know there's a lot of noise in life. As long as that noise is going on, the angels will have to keep on fighting for you. I say, Lord, let us help him. And say, well, God said, look, I cannot deny myself. I'm a righteous God. So maybe for some of us today, what God is saying to you, the word is sending to you is, set your house in order. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to visit with you. I'm going to change your story around. Don't do anything. Just set your house in order. But listen to verses 13 to 14. It says, so the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come anymore into that territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. From a word. All the days. From one word. When God wants to visit with you, he gives you a word. Please, it's a priority in your life. It's a priority in your life. How on earth will I know when God is speaking to me? Please, please, no pride in it, because this is your life and you have the rest of it to live. The next 50, 60, 80 years, it doesn't matter how many more years left. But whatever it is, go back and find out how does God speak. Between the second service, during the second service, we have a fresh start class that just started. I don't know if they will still take new people. If it's not very clear, if I'm hearing echoes, pastor preached a message ages and ages ago. Is it me? Is it God? Is it the devil? I remember at that time, I thought, I could hear God sharply. I could hear God very well. But I made one or two. I tripped over myself once or twice. I thought, hang on a minute. I thought God spoke to me. Why did that not happen like that? I went back to the Fresh Believers class to go and sharpen and fine-tune my hearing. If you use a phone over a period of time, it starts clogging up. Many of the times you don't hear properly anymore. Not because the device is not there. Not because somebody is not trying to speak to you. But because there's a lot of clutter. It's been used for so long. Maybe there's so much noise. Children have dropped it here and there and the other. And things have happened to that phone. Please go and sharpen your hearing because you need it. I need it. The reason why we need it is because every battle is not the same. And will there be battles? Yes. For you as an individual, for your life, for your career, for your business, for your children, and even for the people around you. Because there are people around you that will need direction at one point or the other. And God will want to speak to you, but if you're not tuned to his frequency, how on earth would you hear him? You don't have to be a pastor to hear God's word. And God's word can come to you from preaching. God's word can come to you when you're seated. God's word can come to you through a prophet, and we're going to talk through that later. So, these people fought the battle because God sent a word to them. I'll give you a couple of Bible verses. Go back home and read them. I'm not going to read this one. Job chapter 22, verses 21 to 28. When you get home and you are studying that scripture, say, God, speak to me. When I first became a believer, my disciple used to say to me, say to God, speak to me because I'm ready to hear before you open your Bible at all. Because from here, God will speak to you. And for some of us to think, oh, I know that already. If you know that, then why are you tripping? Because if you're tripping, if you trip once, we say it's an error. If you trip twice, we say the shoes are not good enough. If you trip three times, something is wrong somewhere. Either the floor is uneven, the shoes are not good enough, or you just don't know the way. So there is no pride in the way you live your Christian life, because at the end of the day, it's result you want. Result is what speaks. He says, I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will see it. What people see is what they talk about. So the very first thing is the word of God. You and I need it. If God wants to visit with you, and when he visits with you, he will give you a word. And he's visiting with you now. For some of you, you already have your word. We prayed a prayer at the beginning. We said that today will not end without you getting your miracle. For some of you, you already have it. The second thing is a wisdom. A wisdom. A know-how. How to know. To know something. The word to hear, if you want to put something on the side of it, to know is wisdom. I love this particular scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 18. I'm going to show you what God used wisdom to do in the life of a gentleman called David in that scripture. A wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do and how to do it. When you finish praying, every challenge requires a wisdom to solve them. Every single challenge. And every non-challenge requires a wisdom as well. To live a life of peace, you don't need to have a challenge to live a life of peace. It requires wisdom. To raise godly children, it requires wisdom. They don't need to fight you. It requires wisdom. To have a great and happy marriage requires wisdom. To have a great work environment requires wisdom. Some people say, oh, well, it's just generally speaking, it's a very wise person's got his head screwed on tight. It is not so. There are some things you can have your head well screwed on and you still don't know what to do and how to do it. There are different ways of handling different challenges in life. When you finish praying, ask the Lord, Lord, what is the wisdom required for this thing? When God wants to visit you, he gives you wisdom. My father in the Lord, pastor has mentioned it a few times. There was a particular conference they wanted to run. Their location can take only so many people. A couple of thousand, or more than, as at that time, about 10, 20,000 people. The conference tends to attract about 50,000 people. And they took time out, they waited upon the Lord, they fasted, they prayed. And after prayer, they sat down and said, okay, what is the wise way of managing traffic to make sure people don't stampede? There are always wise ways of managing everything. Some of us think, when we pray about it, that's it now, it's done now, let's go. No, there is a wise way. When you sit down with God, it gives you the wise way. Somebody says, you get a plain piece of paper and you pray, and then you wait. And say, God, give me the wisdom to handle this matter. Because there's wisdom for every single matter. It does not matter how naughty the matter is in your life, there is a wisdom or a wise way to handle it. When God gives you a word, he also gives you a wisdom. The wisdom is the application of what you now know. Because it's one thing for God to say, you know, I always share my scripture. I share that scripture with you that I just read. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. God said to us, God, we were believing God for a child, and we got pregnant. We believed we were pregnant, and the facts were saying differently. So I was bleeding consistently. The doctors, all the tests came back and said negative. Every single test that was known to man that time. In fact, the one they said, one day old, you will get it. And it said negative. But the wisdom, so God had given us a word. And that word was in Psalm 102 verse 13. God has told us the name of a child, that the child's name was going to be called Asher. God has given us the promises on the back of that child. We knew the child was going to be a boy because God had said it. Except, okay, well, now there are Asher girls. But when we knew the tribe of Asher was a male, and it was the prophecies were very masculine. So we knew. The facts were different from what we knew. What we knew of God and what the facts were very different. So after getting the word from God and holding on to the word of God, what did we then do? What is what wisdom suggested? Every time somebody asked me the question, my husband said, don't say a single negative word. If you have nothing to say, say praise the Lord. That is wisdom. You can use your mouth to undo everything that God had done. And that's what the devil wants. When you have spoken peace, when God has given you a word of peace in your home, you can use that same tongue, that same mouth, to divide the home apart. And it is not God that divided it, it is you. Because there is no wisdom. A situation can happen that will make you just lose every single thing you have been gathering and putting together because wisdom is missing. Let me show you something in the life of this guy. I absolutely love this story and all the places. When you get home, go and read 1 Samuel chapter 18. But I'm going to pull specific verses out for you about what wisdom did to this gentleman. Verse 5. We're going to read verses 5, 14, 15, and 30. Listen to verse 5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him, and he behaved wisely. And Saul sent him over to the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Now, this gentleman was the man that would take over from Saul. This gentleman was not meant to be liked. All of a sudden, somebody came from outside and they are liked. They're not meant to be liked. Let's put it this way. Let's put it in your terms and my terms. So an employee has just come. You have been the acting manager all this time. The team has formed. And somebody just came, a very young boy, a lot younger than everybody in age. And all of a sudden, the CEO said, I want him to now be part of the leadership team. You are not meant to like him. If you don't like him, you're not being unchristianly. If you see what I mean. You will have to pray and try really hard. Okay, all of you are looking at me like, whoa, she's a sinner. What I'm trying to say is, you know, your flesh will not like it. You've been doing something that somebody else was brought and put over you when you think you are good at what you do. And if you were not good, you would expect to be told that you were not good. But you were not told you were not good. Another person was brought from outside and you are told to train them to be your boss. Does that sit? Okay, it doesn't sit with a lot of people. Maybe it sits with you. However, the Bible made us understand that this gentleman got into this group and he was loved. How? He's not meant to be loved. That's not natural. It says he behaved wisely. So the Bible says David went out and wherever Saul sent him, he went anywhere his boss sent him, and he behaved wisely, and Saul set him over the men. Wisdom sets you over. So every time you go and ask the Lord, God, what am I supposed to do? And he gives you a word. It's, God, how am I supposed to do this? What is the wise way of doing this? Because that is what will set you over. A wise man is set over. Wisdom sets you over. He behaved wisely and he was accepted by everybody. He behaved wisely and he was set over many. The Bible says even the servant was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Read with me the same scripture, verse 14. And David behaved wisely and in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. He behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. When you have wisdom, God is with you and begins to reflect in every single area of your life. So you need it. So when you pray, you say, God, visit me today with your wisdom. What is the wise way of going about this? The Bible made us understand, if you read verse 15, it says, therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, do you see that? Again, he was afraid of him. Even your enemies become afraid of you when the wisdom of God begins to operate in you. Saul was meant to be the one that sent him out. Saul was meant to be the one against him, but the one that is his ultimate boss. The Bible says he was afraid of him when he saw the wisdom of God manifest in him. He behaved wisely. When God wants to make you acceptable to many, he gives you wisdom which you operate. When God wants to make you loved by many, he gives you wisdom to operate. When God wants to make your enemy afraid of you, he gives you wisdom to operate. When God wants to make you the one that is special to him and be the one that is with God, or God is with, carrying his presence always, he gives you his wisdom to operate. The Bible went ahead and says, therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came back in before them all with wisdom. With wisdom. Even the people that are meant to hate you, they begin to love you when you carry the wisdom of God in you. The last one on that one is in verse 30. The same thing was said about this gentleman. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war, and so it was whenever they went out that David behaved more wisely than all the other servants, so that his name became highly esteemed. If you will become highly esteemed in any endeavor in life, as an individual, as a mother, as a father, you need the wisdom of God on a daily basis. God, what's the wise way of dealing with this? God, I think I know what I did yesterday, but I'd rather scratch and start all over again. What is the wise way you want me to use in approaching this issue? When God wants to visit with you, he gives you wisdom. The Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, James chapter 1 verse 5, let him ask of the Lord. That is one thing we're clearly told, Lord, give me the wisdom to handle this matter. You have spoken a word to me. What is the wise way? Now I know the word. How do I use the word? What is the wise way? One of the best things God can give to you in any circumstance in life is to deliver wisdom into your hands, because you then become the master of that situation. You see that guy from a nobody. He became the brother that everybody loved, the one that God was with, the one that God loved, the one that his enemies loved, and the one that everybody was afraid of. And he became, the Bible says in verse 30, highly esteemed. That is a very important person from nothing because of the wisdom of God. When God wants to visit with you, he gives you his wisdom. Because when God visits with you, he blesses you so much, everybody sees it. Even those areas that you think are the big issues and big areas, they are not the areas. Because they're just little things that God needs to help you cross as hurdles so his name can be glorified. When God wants to bless you, he gives you a word. When God wants to visit with you, he gives you a wisdom. The third one I'm going to talk about, when God wants to visit with you, he gives you a wise partner. I'm not going to go on the rest of them. I'm going to talk about wise partner. 1 Samuel chapter... okay, bear with me a second. So I wrote verses 14 to 20, and I cannot see the chapter it's meant to be. Let me talk to you about the man of God and Saul. Let me look for when Saul was anointed king, verses 14 to 20. I think it's 1 Samuel chapter 10, when he was looking for his donkey. Bear with me. That's chapter 10. Let me tell you the story. Okay, chapter 9. Chapter 9, I found it. Verses 14 through to 20. The story behind this, when God wants to bless you, gives you a wise partner. That is, Pastor called it a destiny helper. Every time you pray and you ask for God's visitation, ask the Lord, Lord, you've given me this information. Who is my destiny helper? Who is my birthing partner? Who is the one that you want to help me bring this word to pass? Who is the one who you have put this idea in? Because the thing about God is, the Bible says, he sets the lonely in families. So God operates in families and in companies with people. Saul was just a regular man. His dad lost his donkey. And Saul started looking for the donkey on behalf of dad. And while he was looking for donkey on behalf of dad, something happened to him. It was with another gentleman who said to him, look, we've been looking for this thing for so long. I don't know what you have been looking for so long. But the gentleman said to him, why don't we go and see? We heard that there is a man of God in this land. We heard that there is a seer. We heard there is somebody that can seek God's face on our behalf. As God will have it now, you don't need another person to seek God's face on your behalf. What that guy was just telling him, look, we have tried our strength. We have tried everything we know to do. It's time to take this thing to God, shall we? So they went. They went to see Samuel. And that's the story prior to now. There was a man of God in the land. Saul was looking for something. So if you read verse 14 with me, all the way through to 20, the Bible says, so they went up to the city, and as they were coming into the city, there was Samuel coming out towards them on his way unto the high place. And now the Lord told Samuel in his ears the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow, about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry have come to me. Now, Saul was looking for something really small. Saul just needed a four-wheel car. He just needed, I don't want to abuse any car. A tiny car, okay? But God had a plane in stock. Not like that, but you see what I mean? God had something bigger. Bigger than his imagination. Saul was looking for his father's donkey. God is looking for a man. You're looking for a job. God is looking for a man in that organization. You're looking for a husband. God is looking for the fruit that you're going to bear in that marriage. So God is looking for something bigger. However, there was a need for Saul to come in contact with Samuel for the realization that he's looking for something bigger, because Saul did not even know he was looking for something bigger. You know, many times we are so consumed with the now. We don't think about the 5, the 10, the 20 years. God's people have been crying to God. Saul was looking for a donkey. God was looking for a man that would deliver the whole people. And the Bible made us understand. God had spoken into the ears of Samuel the day before. Supposing, Saul did not obey. Saul did not come in contact with Samuel. What could have happened to Saul's destiny? He would have found the donkey, but that would have been it. But God wanted a man to deliver his people. He didn't want a man to just find a donkey. You're looking for £1,000 extra every month. God is saying, I want somebody that will fund my gospel. You are looking for one child. God is saying, I'm looking for a prophet. You're looking for one husband. God is saying, I'm looking for a family to showcase in this land. That the way people now see marriage is wrong, I want to use you as a model. God is looking for bigger. But my question is, will you come in contact with your Samuel? Will you open your spirit to receive instruction from the wise planner that God has put around you? Because God always put people around us. When God wants to bless you, he gives you a man of wisdom beside you. When God wants to bless you and visit with you, he gives you his word. When God wants to bless you and visit with you, he gives you his wisdom. When God wants to bless you and visit with you, he gives you a wise planner beside you. I don't know, for many people, a wise planner or the person that God has added to you is your spouse. Many people are still there thinking, I can do it myself. If you can do it yourself, why did you get married? If you didn't need a helper. Because everything you know, you already know anyway. You knew it before you came into marriage. What you don't know is now what is in the head of the other party. What you don't know is what is in the head of the other team members. What you don't know is what your pastor can deliver to you. What you don't know is what your departmental leader can deliver to you. But now that you are here, take advantage of every other resource, because you don't know who God can speak to through you, or who God can speak to you through. You've come to church and say, I just want to mind my business and do my thing. But God has a word in the mind of and the mind and the mouth of somebody for you, but you have not listened. I end with this testimony. Ages ago, when we first came to our local church, when we first came to United Kingdom, our local church was was way beyond us. That's the only way I can put it. Not because we were from poor backgrounds, but because we were in a poor situation at that time. So it was a stopgap. It was a place in life. And it was very easy to feel intimidated in my then local church, because people, it's just the way it was, basically. Nothing to do with anybody else. But you know, sometimes you project, you see the world from your own eyes, not so much from anybody else's, to be honest with you. The option was to finish service and run away and not relate to anybody. I remember Pastor Eddie said, Bola, God sent us here to be a blessing to the people and for the people to be a blessing to us. There is always somebody God has put around you. When you are coming from home to church, after you have heard the word, say, God, who have you put around me that I can be a blessing to, or that can be a blessing to me? On one of such occasions, he was having a chat with the pastor. The pastor was doing the kind of job we would love to do. The pastor was riding the kind of car we would like to ride. The pastor was living in the kind of house we would like to live in. I dare say to you, less than 2 years down the line, by wise counsel and association, every single thing plus more was done. Rise to your feet, because God has a lot in stock for you. In your local church, God has a lot in stock for you. In your private time when you're praying, God has a lot in stock for you. I want you to lift yourself to heaven. Every time you pray, God wants to visit with you. But what I want you to do is ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, you have spoken to me today. I want you to go back home and go back and research on the other ones. You have spoken to me today. You have given me your word. Father, I ask for wisdom to know how to apply the word in the name of Jesus in every area of my life. And concerning my situation, as you have spoken, as you will speak, give me wisdom, O Lord. Open my eyes to see the destiny helpers, the wise partners that you have put around me that will help me in achieving that purpose for which you have called me. Saul was looking for something small. God wanted a man that would do something great for him, but he needed to come in contact with the Samuel. Until he contacted the Samuel, he never got anything. Until he contacted the Samuel, he never got anything. He went to Samuel, he said, where are we going to go? Why are we going? We can't go to God's presence with nothing. We have to take something. We must take something with us. He took something. He honored the man of God. He honored the grace and the anointing on the man. And he honored God himself, and God visited with him and gave him beyond his expectation. He found his donkey, but he found much more. I don't know what you're looking for this morning, but I want to say to you, you are in the right place. You've come into a wise company. God has spoken to you. God will give you the wisdom to apply what he has said. I want to pray for you as well today, that as you manifest God in everything you do, as you do the will of God, as you listen to the wise partners that God has put around you, as you honor God with your offering, honor God with your tithe, God himself from heaven will visit with you and change your story around and give you beyond what you have imagined. In Jesus' precious name, we've prayed. In Jesus' precious name, we've prayed.